Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome to episode 26 of our series Fresh Bread, Your Kingdom Come. Based on my book, The Whore and Her Mother, 9/11, Babylon and the Return of the King. If you've missed the previous shows, don't worry. You can still play or download the podcast of previous shows from our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. Or you can read the first few chapters of the book for free there. And you can download the relevant prophetic passages for your own study. You'll also find more information about the music and the content of each show. And you can read all the encouraging emails we receive about this and our previous shows. If you want to contact us, our email address is simply raymond@kingdomcome.org.uk, or just use the form on our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. In previous weeks, we've covered the preface, introduction, and the first 18 chapters of the book. Last week, we covered chapter 18, Time for a Timeline. Let's sum up what we covered then. Timeline in brief. 1. The good news of the kingdom will be preached to every tribe, language, people and nation. 2. The Middle East will explode into war once again. The Arabs and other Muslim nations will attack Israel but will be wiped out. They will become like chaff, dust and tumbleweed before a gale. 3. More of the 10 tribe nations will make aliyah to Israel, the trickle becoming a flood, a second exodus. Israel will gain the territory of their enemies, but also the enmity of the world, including the USA. 4. Anti-Semitism and opposition towards aliyah to Israel will greatly increase in the USA. Jews may have to go underground to escape America. 5. America will be destroyed by fire in 1 hour. 6. Survivors will return to their own lands, the Jews and Israelites, to newly expanded Israel. The heart of stone will be removed from Israel, and they will recognize their Messiah. 7. The man known as the Beast will be revealed and be given power by the world's remaining 10 most powerful nations. 8. He will make a covenant allowing Israel to begin sacrifices in a newly built temple in Jerusalem. He will halt the sacrifices after 3.5 years, seek to persecute Israel, and vent his wrath on the rest of the Messiah's followers. 9. He will cause the whole world to receive a mark on the right hand or forehead, otherwise they cannot buy or sell. 10. The wrath of God will be poured out as severe plagues upon all those who have received the mark, but they will not repent of their evil deeds. 11. The armies of all nations will assemble in Israel to destroy Jerusalem. 12. Messiah will return with all those who love him resurrected and caught up to meet him in the clouds, as he descends to the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. 13. He will destroy the Antichrist and all the armies of the nations and set up his kingdom, ruling the nations from Jerusalem with a rod of iron. 14. His followers will reign with him after the marriage feast of the Lamb and his award ceremony, ruling over the cities of the nations. 15. Each nation will come up every year to worship in Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles. 16. At the end of 1,000 years of Messiah's rule, Satan will be loosed and will deceive the nations once again into attacking Jerusalem, but fire will come down from heaven and destroy them. 17. The earth will melt away, the rest of the dead will be raised, and the great white throne judgment will take place. Those whose names are not found in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, along with Satan. 18. The new heaven and new earth will be created, and the saints will live there with the Lord forever. Before we continue with chapter 19, the greatest prophet of all, we're going to listen to a wee bit of bluegrass from Kickin' Grass Band, North Carolina, USA, with Pot Liquor. Chapter 19, The Greatest Prophet of All. John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, described the one who would come after him. Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Yeshua of Nazareth was a Hebrew prophet. His mother, Miriam, was descended from the tribe of Judah and from the family of David. Matthew 1 verses 1 to 16. His stepfather, Joseph, was also of the tribe of Judah and family of David. Luke 3, 23 to 38. The Hebrew word Messiah, Greek Christos, Christ, means anointed one. That is, anointed by the Holy Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew, meaning holy breath or holy wind. Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 5. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Yeshua began his ministry as Messiah by being baptized by John in the River Jordan. John was going to refuse, believing that it should be Yeshua baptizing him, but Yeshua insisted. Matthew 3, verses 15 to 17. Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." At this water baptism, or mikveh, the power of the Holy Spirit descended upon him and remained upon Yeshua throughout his ministry. John 1, verses 32 to 34. Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" The same Holy Spirit who had come upon the prophets in the Tanakh, Old Testament, came upon Yeshua and remained upon him. He was henceforth filled with the Spirit and also led by the Spirit. Luke 4 verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Matthew 4 verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After his time of fasting, hunger and testing in the desert, he returned to Galilee, prophesied in Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, and stood up in the synagogue. Luke 4 verse 13 to 21. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened upon him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Reading from the appointed scroll in the synagogue, Yeshua declared that he was the one spoken of in that reading. He described himself as something greater than Solomon and greater than Jonah, Luke 11 verses 29 to 32. Paul said in Hebrews 3 verse 3, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honour than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honour than the house itself. Yeshua was not just a prophet, or even the greatest prophet of all time. He was the Messiah, the Anointed One, the hope of Israel. When the rich young ruler called him good teacher, he replied in Luke 18 verse 19, Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, No one is good except God alone. He meant that he was the Son of God. He also said in John 8 verses 56 to 59, Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You're not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you've seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. The name Yeshua means Jehovah is salvation, and Jehovah is from the root, I am. So by using the phrase I am, he was declaring that he was indeed God. Many Hebrew prophecies were fulfilled by the coming of Yeshua and the timing and manner of his birth and ministry. He would be born of a virgin from the tribe of Judah and family of David of the kingly line, born in Bethlehem, minister in Galilee, and so on. His ministry of healing, deliverance from demonic spirits, and even raising from the dead substantiated his claims to be who he said he was. Daniel prophesied the very year of his death, 483 years from the decree of Cyrus the Persian to rebuild Jerusalem. Zechariah prophesies that the Messiah, literally Jehovah, the Lord, will go out and fight against those nations. Zechariah 14 verse 4. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. And then verse 16 and 17, then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles. If any of the peoples of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. Who is Zechariah talking about here? Whose feet will descend upon the Mount of Olives? Of whom was it prophesied that he would return there in the same way that he left? Acts 1 verses 9 to 11. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. It is Yeshua the Messiah, whose feet will descend upon the Mount of Olives, and to whom the survivors of the nations of the world will come every year to worship at the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. The Apostle John also describes this worship in Revelation 5, 13 and 14. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them, saying, To him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped.
When I think of heaven, no mirror I see. The life will be different there. Except for this one thing that I now possess, the knowledge of my Savior's care. That I need to beware. Except for this one thing of which I am sure, the knowledge that Jesus is there.
those things that remind me of what men can do. Oh, how sin has brought us despair. And so to remind us of how we will bear the nail marks he always will bear.
Was Sammy Horner from Scotland, originally from Northern Ireland, and a song called When I Think of Heaven. Yeshua's Prophecies. Yeshua prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem and the removal of power from the nation of Israel. Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. We know that that has come to pass, but he also promised that this Jewish race will survive. Again, he stated in Luke 21, verses 29 to 36. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation, or race, will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. According to Yeshua, we need to be prayerfully on the lookout, interpreting unfolding events in the light of the words of the prophets. The fig tree is generally taken to be a prophetic representation of the nation and people of Israel. When we see the fig tree sprouting leaves, Yeshua says, we know that the kingdom of God is near. The fig tree has been sprouting for quite some time now. The nation of Israel was re-established against all the odds in 1948. Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, Judea and Samaria, were restored to Israel's control in the Six-Day War of 1967. Each time that those surrounding nations who hate Israel's very existence have attempted to wipe her out, the Lord has given her victory over her enemies. Those enemies are still surrounding her and plotting furiously to destroy her. They will not be content until they see her destruction. But that plan is not going to be fulfilled. Yes, they will launch the attack. The missiles will strike, at least one of them at any rate. But their whole battle plan will once again go awry. The result will be an overwhelming victory for Israel. Only this time her enemies will flee far away and become like dust, chaff and tumbleweed in a gale. Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83. As Yeshua foretold, this race will survive. Luke 21, verse 32. Most of Yeshua's prophecies in Matthew 24 and 25 and Luke 21 concern warnings not to be led astray by false messiahs and parables warning that we should be alert, on the lookout for his return. One false messiah we can be sure of is the one expected by many, though not all, followers of Islam, the Mahdi. In his book, The Islamic Antichrist, Joel Richardson does a great job of describing all the common points between the Mahdi, expected by many Shiite Muslims, and the biblical Antichrist. In addition, he analyzes the relationship between the return of Jesus in Islam from heaven because he never died, and he will convert the Christian world to Islam, and the false prophet of the Revelation. Although Joel's book provides a fascinating parallel between these Shiite expectations and the biblical prophets, I'm not convinced that followers of Islam will immediately be taken in by an Antichrist who will exalt himself above all that is called God. Perhaps because of the great defeat of Islamic nations by Israel in the Six-Hour War, many scattered and disillusioned Muslims maybe so desperate for revenge in Israel that they will even swallow such an ungodly world leader? That remains to be seen. Yeshua prophesied many false messiahs. Hitler was one good example of such, and the Mahdi may simply be another, but not necessarily the Antichrist. Yeshua also told his disciples in John 14, verses 1 to 3, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." In other words, Yeshua promised, "I will be back. But when he comes, there will be many who have called him Lord, Lord, but who have not obeyed his commands. The question will not be, do you know the Lord, but will he know you?" There are so many in churches today who seem to know nothing of the contents of this book, the sources of which have been available to them in black and white print, the same as they have to me. Many leaders of churches and fellowships have successfully avoided speaking about any of these things for decades. I have been to many churches here in Northern Ireland, but I cannot remember when I last heard anyone focus on this subject. The Apostle Paul made a point of reminding the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 2:5, "Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? Then why are we so indifferent to them?" Do our leaders not realize that those who take it upon themselves to teach will be judged more severely? James 3, verse 1. If we are not searching the scriptures and seeking out answers to these questions, then we are being deliberately disobedient to Yeshua's explicit instructions to keep watch in Matthew 24, verses 25, 42, 44, 50, etc. Worse still, we are in danger of coming under the same judgments that are meant to be for those who do not believe. Wake up. Start seeking God. Start reading the whole of his word, not just the nice comforting bits. Yeshua prophesied and taught several parables about his second coming. These are mainly found in Matthew 24 and 25 and Luke 21. They contain warnings about false messiahs and emphasize the need for us to be watchful, prepared, and looking out for his coming. Yeshua is coming very soon. Will you be ready when these things come upon the world? That was Eamon Costello and Cathal Cloessy from here in Ireland with a tune called Sergeant Early's Dream. Let's sum up what we've covered in chapter 19. The greatest prophet of all. 1. Yeshua fulfilled all the prophetic requirements of the Messiah, the Anointed One, coming from the tribe of Judah through his mother Miriam, at the appointed time, preceded by John the Baptist, etc. 2. John witnessed the Holy Spirit descending upon Yeshua and remaining upon him, the sign to John that this was the one. 3. He declared himself to be greater than Solomon, greater than Jonah, in fact, to be the Son of God. 4. He could not have been deceived or a deceiver and still be a good man or a prophet. He was and is who he said he was. 5. He foretold the destruction of Jerusalem, but also that the Jewish nation would not be destroyed. 6. He promised that he would return to receive his own, and the angel at his ascension promised that Yeshua would return to the Mount of Olives just as he left it. When Zechariah describes this, he refers to Yehovah himself descending to the Mount, confirming that Yeshua is God. 7. He warned us that many would come in his name, that there would be many false messiahs. We've already seen the Christian German people fooled by one of these, Hitler. Not everyone who speaks in Yeshua's name has his authority to do so. We need to be alert, discerning, and knowledgeable in the scriptures to be sure of not being taken in by them. Above all, he promised that he would return. Join us again next week for chapter 20, The Church Must Change. Remember, if you want to buy the book, The Whore and Her Mother, in Kindle or paperback edition, go to our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. Slán, agus bána dia. Bye, and God bless.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes, and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast, Northern Ireland, BT 23 7TZ.